And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Alan Karuba is the CEO of The Boring Institute. Originally a media spoof, The Boring Institute has a serious side as it describes the dangers that are associated with too much boredom and offers advice on how to avoid it. Alan is a writer by profession. He has several books to his credit, and a daily column called Warning Signs is disseminated to many internet news, opinion, websites, and blogs. Welcome to the show, Alan. How are you today?
Oh, I'm not bored.
That's good to hear, then, because you are the master of boredom. I mean, I know that the Boring Institute was set up as a kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, but, let's remark about some of the boring stories that are today. The thing that's on everybody's mind is the debt ceiling increase. The rest of the world, for that matter, it's not just Americans. Are we bored with that particular topic, and what are some of the negative consequences for Americans if we are bored with this whole debt ceiling crisis?
Well, I'd say, generally speaking, most people have kind of turned off. It's like watching, little children in the kindergarten having a big argument and fight. And to that extent, we're really not paying attention because we just want to have the whole thing over with. It will probably be raised at some point with some piece of legislation, and everybody will, pat themselves on the back. But the danger is... not paying attention to what is going on in Washington, which is generally, complete and utter madness. We've reached this point, as everybody knows, as a result of too much spending. And, of course, a lot of that is attributed right now. We've got, $14.3 trillion that we owe? And yeah. A lot of that has been run up in just the last 3 years or so.
That is very true. So you, as the head of the Institute, you've really looked at boredom a lot of different ways. And I want to ask you, what role does boredom play in everyday instances, things like crime? What role does crime play in boredom, or boredom play in crime?
A lot of crime is initiated, particularly among younger people, out of boredom. It's kind of a quest for a little bit of excitement or whatever. In the general population, boredom is usually an early sign of depression, which is to say, if you don't get over your boredom and continue to be bored, you will slide into what psychiatrists and psychologists would deem to be a depressed mood. So it's just one of those things you want to keep an eye on. And it just plays a role in just so many aspects of our lives. Of course, marriages grow stale, and the partners to the marriage get bored with one another, and the next thing you know, you have divorces, and it just goes on and on. It's just a kind of a background music to a lot of problems in people's lives.
It's the muzak behind all of our lives. My guest is Alan Karuba. Alan, you've got I found a very interesting, simple definition of what boredom is. Do you mind sharing that? What is boredom as you define it?
Golly, you've been reading my website, obviously. I'm trying to remember what it was I defined it as. Oh, I know what it is. Generally, I advise people to feed their mind. Feed your brain. Boredom is usually your brain telling you that you're not engaging it in activities that it requires. Your body needs exercise. Well, your brain does, too. So boredom is usually a signal that the brain is sending you that you're just not doing enough to keep it active.
Yeah, that makes sense, and I like that. It's a good practical definition. So, Alan, let me ask you, compared to historical times, are we more bored today than we have been throughout history?
Well, throughout history, most people were engaged in just simply, raising enough food to put on the table. Earlier times were a lot more fundamental and demanding. Present day times, we have a lot of leisure time, and the result is we try and fill it up in one way or another, and of course a lot of us just veg out in front of the TV, and that's never a good idea because most of what's on the TV is pretty awful stuff. Really doesn't do you much good except pass a few hours.
Now, that's true. But I guess the crux of my question is, with all of this leisure time that modern conveniences have afforded us, has that made us more bored?
I don't know if we're more or less bored at any point in history, there's a lot of, you know, there's often a reason to be paying a lot of attention to what's going on. Certainly in the 220-odd years of U.S. history, we've had to deal with the Revolutionary War and the Civil War and the War of 1812, and we've always had a full platter of things to concern ourselves with. So Americans have generally been, you know, fairly well attuned to what is going on around them and in the country. So I would say in earlier times, there wasn't that much reason to be bored. And earlier Americans read a great deal. Earlier generations were quite literate, and they were amazingly well read, considering that they couldn't order a book from Amazon.com.
Very true. My guest is Alan Karuba. He's the CEO of the Boring Institute. So, Alan, let's have some practical wisdom here. What are some of the ways that we can prevent boredom, whether it's for us or for our children?
Well, reading is at the top of the list. Reading is absolutely essential. It engages the mind in ways that other activities do not. So I would say, in addition to reading, just the general topic of educating yourself on anything that interests you. This is not limited to intellectual pursuits. It's anything. Other things that I always recommend are hobbies. Very important to have a hobby. It could be sports. It could be making things. It could be travel. It could be anything. But things that really engage your mind and your spirit are really essential to living a full life.
All right. My guest is Alan Karuba. Alan, you study boredom at the Boring Institute. So what are some of the latest findings in the science of boredom that you've discovered?
Well, there's a new book out about boredom, in fact. And people can go over to theboringinstitute.blogspot.com. And we have a review up there of the book. I'm trying to remember its name.
The book is Boredom, A Lively History?
Yeah, that's it, by Professor Toomey of Yale University. And it is a bit of an intellectual exercise because he's thrown everything, including the kitchen sink, into the topic of boredom. But I don't think people necessarily have to read about boredom to know what it is. Even little babies get bored in the crib. I think it's important for people to pay attention to their levels of boredom and to act upon it, because too much of it, it can be lethal. I mean, people commit suicide because they're just bored to death.
Literally bored to death. My guest is Alan Karuba. Now, Alan, one of the more unboring blog posts that you've got is up on your website about President Barack Obama. In that, you assert President Barack Obama is a psychopath. Very, very strong words. And you cite the work of Richard Hare as the basis for your comments. So if you would, please, elaborate on that. Why is President Barack Obama a psychopath?
Well, he evinces a lot of the characteristics of psychopathy. Not all psychopaths are mass murderers. There are psychopaths among us. In fact, Dr. Hare estimated or calculated that 1 out of every 100 people demonstrates symptoms of psychopathy. I'll just give you a couple of them that he developed. He is known for his psychopathy checklist, which is used by psychiatrists and psychologists for the purpose of diagnosis. But among the things that identify a psychopath is a glib and a superficial charm, grandiose estimation of self, need for stimulation, psychological lying, cunning, manipulative. That's a word I can't get my mouth around.
Daniel Webster is spinning in his grave. Manipulation?
Manipulativeness.
Ah.
I got it. Lack of remorse or guilt, callousness, lack of empathy, a parasitic lifestyle, and importantly, a failure to accept responsibility for their own actions. These are just some of the 20 characteristics that Dr. Hare identified. And so when I refer to the president as possibly being a psychopath, I'm actually referring to these well-established guidelines.
All right, well, let's go through them if we can, Alan, for just a minute. So you've listed off the list, glib and superficial charm. Okay, I can sort of see that. But when it comes down to things like a parasitic lifestyle, in what ways is President Barack Obama exhibiting a parasitic lifestyle?
Well, getting on an airplane with he and the wife to see a Broadway show is one example. Generally, observers of the White House note that there's a lot of fun and games going on. There's a lot of fancy dinners and celebrities being invited to entertain, and it's a lifestyle that the rest of us don't generally experience or enjoy.
Well, that's true, but he is the President of the United States, and it's a tough job. Doesn't he deserve some perks for being the head of the free world?
Nobody denies the fact that it is a tough job, and it certainly comes with enormous perks. We don't have to tick them off. I mean, obviously, the man does not get out and drive himself around from one place to another. If he needs to go somewhere, he has a helicopter handy and a jet plane. So there's a lot of perks that go with it,
sure.
Obviously. It's a question of whether or not these are accepted as part of the job and necessary to the job, or whether these are seen as special favors that he deserves, and it just puts him in a different category. The odd thing about his current complaints is complaints about corporate jets. For some reason, he's got a bug in his ear about that. And the fact is, these are instruments of business. I mean, the jets are used to ensure that the various executives get to where they need to go and do so swiftly. So there's a perfectly logical and business-related reason for corporate jets.
Okay, and my guest is Alan Karuba. He's the CEO of the Boring Institute. Let's come back and ask about another one of the characteristics of psychopathy that you've listed out, callousness and lack of empathy. In what ways is President Barack Obama exhibiting callousness and lack of empathy?
Oh, how do we count the ways? I don't see a great deal of concern, real concern, for the fact that we have 14 million Americans out of work right now, and a comparable number on food stamps. I don't think the serious impact on people's lives seems to penetrate his consciousness.
All right. Now, maybe not superficially showing it, but I want to ask you to elaborate on that, because I do believe the unemployment situation is the number one pressing issue in the country today. So in what ways is President Obama deflecting or diverting his attention from jobs to other, perhaps less meaningful or certainly more personally enjoyable aspects of being the president?
Well, I'm obviously not prepared to do a political analysis of the president, but I just think that the programs that have been offered up in the last 3 years to deal with the nation's financial problems have obviously failed. The stimulus was, in fact, a Democrat Party slush fund, and it was given out to people that that favored his administration. You can just go down the line. Cash for clunkers was a desperate effort to help the government that had literally taken over and owned General Motors and Chrysler. It's a long list of things that really didn't work, and maybe at the time they thought it would work, but if they knew anything about history, particularly the Great Depression, they would know that all of the so-called answers to the current problems did not work during the Great Depression and in fact, prolonged it for 10 years. Perhaps the major factor that jumps out is the president's desire to raise taxes. This would be disastrous. This is the last thing you do during a depression is raise taxes, because it sucks money out of the economy and gives it to the government, which then, in turn, will go and waste it. So, you know, there's any number of things one can point to in terms of the policies over the past couple of years. Well, and, of course, the polls all demonstrate that the president's approval rating continues to drop.
That is true. My guest is Alan Kuruba. He's the CEO of the Boring Institute and a regular columnist on many blogs and news and opinion sites around the Internet. Tell us, Alan, what do you want readers to take away from the readings, and where can they find some of your postings if they're interested in learning more about you?
Well, I'm best known for my daily commentaries. They're posted on a blog called Facts Not Fantasy, factsnotfantasy.blogspot.com. We've been quoting from a recent post that compared the president's behavior to those identified as associated with the pathology, and or I should say psychopathy, not pathology. I write every day on what you would call the hot button issues of our times, and they can be found at Facts Not Fantasy. blogspot.com. And of course, if you're interested in the topic of boredom, you can go over to theboringinstitute.blogspot.com, and you'll find a lot of good information there too.
Oh, that is great. My guest has been Alan Kuruba, the CEO of The Boring Institute. Alan, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay.